Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
American culture is at a crossroads. I'm Kira Davis, and in my new book, Drawing Lines, Why Conservatives Must Begin to Battle Fiercely in the Arena of Ideas, I challenge conservative Americans to stop retreating from the culture. I help you think critically through the pressing cultural issues of our day and offer practical advice and solutions. It's time for conservatives to make themselves uncomfortable and get engaged, get inspired, get moving, and get winning. Pick up a copy of my book, Drawing Lines, available on Amazon, at FaithfulTech.com or wherever books are sold.
This is the FCB Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of A Very Merry Podcast. I am your very merry host, Kira Davis, and I am joined by my very merry co-host, Amelia Hamilton. Happy Valentine's Day, Amelia.
Happy Valentine's Day. I'm wearing my Valentine's Day sweater. I'm ready.
Oh, that's so cute. Today, I as I do every Valentine's Day, I posted the video of the President of the United States from 9 years ago, Barack Obama, issuing an executive order to my husband to celebrate Valentine's Day. It's one of my greatest accomplishments
in American history.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's great for Black History Month too. It was a very mm-hmm. important moment in Black history. Yes. And yeah, my husband, he's not impressed with it every year I post it. We don't for but, people who do. Go ahead.
I was just going to say Obama's point. He was very right. When mama's happy, everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy. Yep. He was right. For people who don't know, years ago, almost a decade ago now, I had the opportunity to participate on a Google Hangout. Remember, we used to do those things. It was a Google Hangout with President Obama. It was supposed to resemble like a fireside chat. And they picked five bloggers from across the country. And I was one of the people that they chose. Another person on that call was John Green, who a lot of you might recognize. He's a very popular teen angst author. He wrote The Fault in Our Stars. He was just sort of on his way up at that moment, and him and his brother had a really popular blog at the time. And so two of us were chosen. We got to ask the president whatever we wanted. It lasted almost an hour. And we got to ask him like political questions, but at the end, because it was Valentine's Day, Google picked two people to ask like a silly, lighthearted question. And I was one of them. So, and John Green was the other. So John and his mm-hmm. wife were having a baby, their first baby at the time. They asked President Obama to name their child. They were trying to decide between, names for their kids. And his answer was so political. Like it was like, basically it was like, well, that's above my pay grade.
Yeah. I'm not going to be responsible for that.
Yeah, he wouldn't answer it. And then mine was because my husband's birthday is on February 13th and we never celebrate Valentine's Day because of that. Mine was, would you issue an executive order? And he was also getting a lot of crap at that time because he was sort of doing a lot of executive orders. And yeah. So I just thought it would be funny. Anyway, it really was funny. He did tell my husband came in and they, you know, and he got on with Obama and he did tell him, look, you know, if mama's not happy, nobody's happy. So just do the right thing, buddy. But it was a really fun moment in our family history. And that's on
I
the
love
internet.
It. I love seeing it every year on your Facebook too.
Yes, of course. Now I post it every single year, which drives my husband further away from celebrating Valentine's Day. I think he's like, you don't have to be so like persistent about it.
Come on, Mark.
But I mean, when the president orders you, I'm just saying.
Just saying, Mark.
came from the president. Well, anyway, it is Valentine's Day as we're recording. And so we thought, well, let's do a Valentine's Day episode. Yeah. And we headed over to Great American and we agreed to watch A Charming Valentine. This one was a real doozy, Amelia. I had to say. But I picked this movie. And I have to say this. In the tradition of our podcast, traditionally, the movies Amelia picks are better. She always picks the best movies.
I mean, I wasn't going to say anything, but...
It's true. This is why we leave it. We leave the schedule really up to her because she has a... She has a flair for this, but I was like, oh, this sounds great, but it was not great. It was definitely wasn't one of my favorites. But first 5 minutes of the movie, like Amelia emailed me or texted me, and she was like, I already hate this woman. She was like, not the actress, but the character.
Yeah.
So funny. Let's get into it.
Yeah. Well, first we have, this is also a special episode. Because we are, it's all about love here at a Very Merry Podcast and for Valentine's Day. And we are dedicating this episode, even though it wasn't our favorite movie, to someone very special. Our friend John recently lost his mom, Noreen. And they loved watching these wholesome, you know, mostly Christmas, but really all the wholesome TV movies together. So we wanted to dedicate this one, this episode, to the memory of Noreen Brodigan. And we hope that, you know, John is still enjoying these movies and feeling the good love from all of us. So,
yes, we send our love out to John and his family. And one of the reasons why we do this podcast is because these movies, they make you feel some type of way, right? Like they do, they make you feel cozy and loved. And maybe you are in a situation where love is missing or you're missing someone, like John might be missing his mom right now. But these movies are always centered around the concept of love and finding love and giving love. And it is, so you used a great word, Amelia, wholesome. It is so wholesome. And there just feels something so, it's something so comforting about sitting down and watching these movies. Yeah. And that's why we do it. So it's our pleasure to even when the movies aren't the best, it's always the best type of comfort. Like they never fail on that front. Even if we're, you know, not jazzed about one particular film or another, that's just the gist of this podcast. But they never fail to offer you just this little piece of comfort and peace. And I mean, how can you go wrong with a love story in the end?
You can't. Yeah. You can't. So Noreen, this one is for you. Yes. And it is fitting that this one is for her because they are New Yorkers. They lived on Long Island. And this one, the first scene, they're showing us they're in New York.
By way of Toronto.
We know her in New York.
This lady was at one point, she's like jogging on the streets. And I have family in Toronto. As you know, I'm Canadian, been to Toronto many times. And I mean, even my husband and I were watching it. My husband was like, those are Toronto houses if I ever saw any.
Yeah. And the snow was so clean. Like, that is not, that's not New York. But it tells us that we're gonna meet a busy businesswoman. We know that from the first scene, and we do. We see Lillian, who is played by Carolina Bartzak, and we find out that she works in a venture capital firm, and she is on top of things. Like the first thing she does, there's two coffee makers right next to each other. It's causing a bottleneck. She moves one. She gets two lines going. She's on top of things, and
she's very ambitious.
She is. And she knows she's doing a good job because she sits at her desk and she's got one of those little calendar blotters on her desk, which says ask for promotion for today. So she is going to go for it. She is going to be a girl boss. She's going to ask for her promotion. And I appreciate that she has her desk blotter. I thought it was funny that it was like a dry erase one because I would just stick my sleeve in that and erase all of my notes. That's what I would
do. Yeah, it was literally sitting next to her keyboard. I'm like, I guess she's organized enough to know to keep her elbows in when she's typing. Yeah, but I'm not. I also
my right elbow would have marker on it all the time.
Oh, Oh, it would have marker on it. It would have Coke stains, like from my glass of Coke that I put there. It would have like, yeah, everything, lipstick on it from maybe I wiped my mouth and then wrote on it. Like, yeah, that her, she's definitely organized. And we can tell, of course, because yeah, that coffee line at work was just outrageous. Now I can't believe she's the first person to think about, there's two coffee dispensers there. And yet everyone is just standing around like they have to wait for one person to finish at one coffee dispenser instead of just walk around. I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter because we know that she's more efficient than everyone in the office.
We do. And we also find out she has a conversation with her boss, who is a Black boss. So we can check that one off the list. He stops by and I think we're supposed to feel like he was blowing her off because she's about to ask for a promotion, but he didn't know that. So he's just stopping by, telling her she's doing a good job and says he'd like her to join the board meeting tomorrow with the executives, which I think is a great sign, but she didn't get to ask for her promotion because she was just kind of grabbing him as he walked by. But we find out that she's coming to the board meeting tomorrow and he's really impressed with the ideas that she's bringing in for potential investments because she's bringing clients that are efficient, organized, and innovative. And that's what she was doing with the coffee pot. She was being innovative, but efficient and organized. So good for her.
Good for her. She's definitely on brand.
Mm-hmm. That night, she is at dinner with her friend Annie. And Annie, I thought it was her husband, but it turns out it's her boyfriend, Phil.
Okay. I was wondering this too, because I thought we were going to get some kind of proposal at some point with that relationship since they already were established. And I thought the way that they might weave that into the plot, I actually thought at the end, he might give her like a very special love.
A love package.
That sounds really dirty.
This adult episode of A Very Merry Podcast.
I'm sorry. A very special love package, like the SNL skit. Love in a box.
Something in a box, yes.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Anyways, it didn't pan out, but I can only imagine that's because he's a ginger.
Something to think about. It's something to think about in the dating world. So it's Annie's birthday and Phil comes up with this box and they're kind of mean to him about like how he's a terrible gift giver and he comes up with horrible things, but the gift is really thoughtful. It's a music box of the song that was playing when they had their first kiss and a candle with, you know, that smells like a special place to them. And so it's really thoughtful, but it turns out that the reason that it's so good is because he uses this thing called love subscription, which honestly isn't all that much better than love package. I think love subscription, if there was a box on my porch that said love subscription, I'd want to like explain to the mailman that it wasn't.
Yeah, I would think it was like, it should be wrapped in brown paper for privacy.
Yeah. But it's not. It's just a subscription box that you can subscribe to and let people know that you're thinking about them and that you love them. So what's so funny is he's like, this is from love subscription. And Lillian is like, oh, what's that? And here's what he says. I wrote it down word for word because I feel like he just memorizes from the website waiting for someone to ask him what it was. It's a subscription service that allows customers to surprise their loved ones with unique and thoughtful gifts while never having to worry about forgetting that special occasion again.
Yes. So
that's his casual description over dinner.
So it was at this point, Amelia, that I literally searched love subscription because I was like, is this a product placement?
Like, fair enough.
This might be blatant product placement. I searched it and then what came up was the movie. So no, it's not a real thing, but it did read like product placement for sure.
Yeah. Yes. I loved it. Good job, Phil. And so it turns out that Lillian has his ex-fiance Bradley, and she doesn't really like getting gifts because of something that happened with Bradley. We don't really know what, but she doesn't like gifts. Okay. Just leave it alone. And gifts are not my number one love language either, but is there anyone who just straight up doesn't like gifts? I mean, please, everyone listening, feel free to send me a gift. It's okay. Even though it's not my number one thing.
I don't know, but there, there's weird people out there. Like my brother didn't like popcorn. When he was a kid, he didn't like popcorn. Mm. And that's weird. You know, like, how can you not like popcorn? It's like, yeah. So there are weird people out there like that, I guess. I don't know any. And I'm Team Amelia on this one. Like, if you want to send me a gift, that is fine.
Yeah, please go ahead. All right. Next morning, they're at the meeting, the big executive board meeting, and her boss asks if anyone has a pitch. And Lillian is the only one who does. So she pitches Love Subscription. She thinks it's going to be a great investment, something that they need to think about. And he tells her to do the research and that she can do the research on this place and write up a recommendation. And she says, well, that seems like a job for a senior strategist. Lillian, you're trying to get promoted to senior strategist.
I know.
How good you are at it.
I know. The beginning of this movie was tonally off. Like it felt like pieced together because we're going to talk about this too, but I just didn't even understand the personality of this character. Like she was complaining about not getting this promotion and she was telling her best friend, who is not a black best friend, but she was telling her best friend, my boss keeps brushing me off every time I approach him, he changes the topic. And I'm like, first of all, I didn't see that in their interaction. I saw her approaching him at very inconvenient times and then him going, oh, okay. I have something else to do. Yeah. Like not saying, hey, can we schedule like a 2 o'clock for me to sit down and talk to you about something? And then the other thing is like when he offers her this really big chance, she's like, oh, you know, I don't really think I'm the right person for this. Like, aren't you asking for a promotion?
This is the job you want. Show him you can do it. I don't get it. We don't really get you, Lillian.
No.
And she's always mad about it, but I don't know. And speaking of Annie, the not black best friend, she is Asian. So maybe we're going to change that to non-white black friend. Not white best friend. There we go.
POC best friend. It doesn't have the same ring as black best friend.
No, it doesn't. I like the alliteration. Yeah. Okay. So she says, but that's a job for a senior strategist. And he's like, yeah, dummy. If you do a good job, if your work is satisfactory, he tells her, you'll get the promotion. Okay. She's excited. So she's talking to Annie the next morning on her phone about how she's going to go spend a few days at Love Subscription, find out how they work. And they're even sending a driver for her. So she's feeling fancy. So Grant shows up. He is our hero, our protagonist in the movie, our love interest. And she thinks he's a driver and is super rude to him.
Yeah, very rude. Like, this is the other thing. Okay. She is not set up from the start as a rude person. She's set up as somebody we're supposed to care for. She has this thing that she wants, right? We start out seeing her with her friend and her friend's boyfriend, maybe fiance. But they're together. So there's people that care about her is my point. She suffered heartbreak. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to like her. And then all of a sudden she just turns into this terrible person.
Yeah. She's so rude to him. And it's one of those things, like, if you want to know what somebody's like, see how they talk to, like the wait staff, that kind of thing. She thinks he's a driver, so she's kind of mean to him.
We're looking at you, James Corden and Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes, we are. So they get to Love Subscription. She realizes he's the CEO. She feels super awkward, whatever. And she starts looking around, to kind of get the lay of the land. And you know how there's that thing where like painters, I feel like it's usually in cartoons, they'll like hold up a paintbrush to like get the perspective on whatever like size things up. She takes a pen and like holds it out. And I'm like, what is she measuring?
What is she doing? I saw that. She's like, obviously she's supposed to look like she's really, you said, getting the lay of the land. And she holds up her pen. Like what exactly is she measuring? Yes. This, I don't know what the light does. The light's a little iffy as it hits this pen. They might need new lighting in here.
Is the venture capital firm like interested in the drapes? I don't know what's going on.
So I don't know what's weird.
He's kind of skeptical of her intentions because he's afraid that if they get this, big city VC money, it's going to make them lose their pizzazz and charm. And he's very concerned that the company keeps their pizzazz and charm. And during this conversation, he is wearing a shirt that appears to be padded. It looked like it was like a quilted shirt. And between the seams, it looked like it was a padded shirt. And I couldn't, it was all I could think about.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even see that. I didn't, I did not think about that. That's hilarious. I didn't notice it.
So they kind of, you know, they have their first day and Lillian goes home and just kind of writes out her first impression, does like a brain dump of things. Again, it's super mean. It's like, this guy's a loser. I hate the company. Gifts are terrible. I hope they never get funding.
Yeah. The whole time she was in that office with him, he is taking her around, showing her the operations. Yeah. And she just has something mean to say about everything. It's not, and this is why Amelia texted me in the first 5 minutes of the movie. She's like, I hate this person. Like, she was so awful. It wasn't even like cute awful. It was just like, it was like being mean about things that you didn't even really need to be mean about. It's a gift subscription company, you know? And then she's like, well, I don't know. Maybe there's too many gifts here. And, you know, just stuff like dumb stuff like that. Or like, what's this room for? Or maybe, you know, maybe you need to be more efficient by doing X or Y or Z. She comes in and she's supposed to be there to get the lay of the land. But isn't at one point she's like giving him advice in that first scene? And he's like, well, let me explain to you how we really do it. And then she takes that one single moment of her just literally just walking in there for 2 minutes, her going, you know what? I think you should do X, Y, Z, when she's just there to gather information. And then him going, well, actually, let me explain how my business works. Right. And her going, oh, he's so stubborn. He's rigid and stubborn and he won't.
Yes. And then
it's like he did nothing.
Theme throughout the movie where they talk about how stubborn he was. I don't think he seemed stubborn at all.
No, he didn't seem stubborn at all.
Works, which is why she was supposed to be there. I couldn't. And everything she said, like, I understand that she was supposed to be there and like kind of look for the faults. I get that. But everything she said was so like mean spirited. It was very strange. It was very strange.
It was extremely, and it was rude. And again, it was like, I don't think this is what you're here for. You're just looking at the operation and seeing how it works. You're not a consultant.
Right.
You're a venture capitalist.
Right. It was weird.
Anyways.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Did Paul Revere really say, the British are coming? And how was George Washington chosen to lead the first American army? Join us for the Growing Patriot podcast, a place for curious kids to ask the big questions about our nation's history and get kid-friendly answers from the country's top experts. Help your child learn about and cherish America's exceptional history. Subscribe to Growing Patriots on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts today.
So she had dinner with Annie that night, and she is worried about this place because she thinks it's terrible. And, you know, she wants to bring in some business and get her promotion. And Annie lets her know that if it doesn't work out, she always has a job with Phil if she ever needs one, because Phil runs more like a small scale venture capital sort of firm. So just
right. He's a ginger, so he can't be too successful.
He's not very successful, but, you know, he has a job opening and she can have it.
Yeah.
All right. Meanwhile, Grant is working late, and his secretary person, the receptionist there, lets him know that she's heard from every other venture capital firm that they have tried, and they have all dropped out. So Lillian is literally their last shot. So Grant is like, okay, tomorrow's a fresh day. We're going to try to make this work. But the next morning, Lillian shows up and is like, listen, we're going to have some ground rules. You need to listen to my input. So the ground rules was one rule.
Right.
And then he said, okay, I agree with that. But if I disagree with your input, you need to hear me out and hear my side of it. So they agree on that, whatever. And then he gives
again, not stubborn. By the way, very gracious, because once again, she's not a paid consultant. She's coming in to see if they can work with this company. She's not coming in to fix anything. So the idea that I would be furious. I would be stubborn if somebody walked into my business that I built from scratch and was like, you know what? And they were there for a day. They're like, you need to listen to me when I say, you're not even offering to give me any money, lady. You want me to change all the stuff that's been working this whole time? And you're not, and I don't even have a guarantee that you're going to invest in this company.
Right. Because even if she was a paid management consultant, she would have to ask him how he does things and why before giving an opinion anyway. Like, it makes no sense. It makes no sense.
It doesn't.
And then he, like, as a, you know, peace offering, gives her a little present. And she's like, I don't want bribery. He's like, it's a gift company. I'm just giving you, calm down. And it was wasn't it like candy or something? Like, it wasn't anything big.
It was pastries.
Oh, that's right. And then she's like, well,
he wasn't giving her, courtside tickets to the Knicks or whatever basketball teams play in New York. He wasn't giving her like concert tickets to like BTS at Madison Square Gardens. You know, it was chocolate croissant, lady.
Just eat the croissant and go on with your day. It was really strange. So he shows her in his office, he's got a wall of fame, which is like different people enjoying their gifts and like notes that they've received from people about, you know, what these gifts meant to them. So she's starting to kind of get the idea of, you know, what they do and why it's important to, you know, the people who work there, why they feel like it's an important company. But she wants to start getting into like the actual brass tacks. Like, she's like, okay, show me your database, your customers, what they order. And he's like, we don't have any of that, because we lost our database, but we do have a room of paper records. And so he opens up, you know, this closet, and there's just like paper falling out everywhere. Everything's terrible. So at this point I texted Kira and I was like, she's horrible. And I think he's a moron.
You can't tell me that of all the people working at that company, that there wasn't one single person dedicated to at least filing the papers.
Right.
By the way, everything that you do on paper these days has to go through a computer in some way, shape, or form. It was probably a form that was generated on a computer, right?
Right.
And then printed out. So the fact that you don't even have a spreadsheet or something. And then, the entire closet was full of these people. Like, it was floor to ceiling, but based on that wall of fame, I don't know that they've been doing that much business. It was a bit much. And it was a bit much. It was a lot.
Yeah, it was. So again, the after work, she's on a walk with Annie talking about.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Oh, what did I mean?
Well, she does say, don't you have anything in the cloud? Don't you guys use the cloud? And he's like, and this is where I'm like, okay, I get this guy. Cause he was like, no, I don't even know where the cloud is. Like, I'm not going to put anything in there. I'm like, thank you. I know, where is the cloud? Everyone's like, don't you have stuff in the cloud? I don't know where it is.
Default to being in the cloud. Like, I never intentionally put things in the cloud, but they're there.
Right.
Again, I don't know where it is.
That was the other thing. At least he could, like, that's at least the default. If you have computers and if you have Macs in there, you probably something's probably in the cloud. I do agree. I don't know where the cloud is, but
I don't know. So again, after work, walking with Annie, talking about how gifts aren't her love language, and she's like angry about gifts.
She's very bitter about gifts. You know what? I've been given things by people who have turned out to be awful people many times in my life, but it's never made me hate the thing, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. People that I love give me a terrible gift and I still kind of like it because I know that it was given with a nice intention.
What are you talking about? Her hatred of gifts is like, it's pathological.
It is. It is. She needs a little bit of time to think about that.
She needs a love package.
So if we thought that the paper records room was bad, the next day she asks for a stapler. So he takes her to the supply closet, which is, again, like overflowing and nobody can get in. And it reminds her of the coffee pot situation. Mm. So she's like, if we empty out the records room, we can sort out between, what is it? It's the supply closet and something else is in there too.
Gift wrapping station.
So they're separating them out. And so again, they were wasting space. She's getting them streamlined.
Yeah, the company, again, not a single person at this fairly successful company thought to have a supply room. Does he have an office manager at all? I think that girl
The receptionist admin person seems very on the ball. So I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, that was just, that was also ridiculous. Equally ridiculous, but you know, I guess she does need something to organize.
Yes. And now she starts trying to tell him again how to do his business, saying that if they sat down to wrap presents, it would be faster than standing up. So he calls everybody around for a rap battle, but with a W. Get it, everybody? Rap battle? Where she's going to sit down and wrap a present and see how fast she can do it. And what I loved is that there's one of those, like you see these at stores, you know, that offer gift wrapping, the like giant rolls of wrapping paper on the spool, you know, so you can just pull some off and cut it. And the scissors are chained to it. And I'm like, what's going on with this office that they have to chain the scissors to the gift wrap?
It's like that's probably the one realistic thing at an office is that the scissors always go disappearing. It's like the pens, you know, when you need a pen, there's like, you can never find a pen when you need it because someone walks off with the pen. Yep. And I subbed for our radio last week and I was in the studio, the LA studio, and I sat down at the board and there was no headphones. And so I'm like walking on, I'm not a regular in the studio, so I don't know it that well, but I'm like walking into other studios and like looking for headphones and they're all locked in. All the headphones are like tied down by zip, like, you know, the plastic zip ties.
Yeah.
And so I can't take another pair from another studio. So finally I got to go find the station manager and be like, I don't have a pair of headphones. So he's like, yeah, you should have a pair in there. And he said, no. And so he's like, well, we'll go get one from another studio. And we went and they're all locked down. He's like, see, this is why we locked down the headphones, because people walk up with them in the studio. So that was maybe the one realistic thing about the office, that they're like, damn you people, we are chaining the scissors to the wrapping station.
We trusted with scissors. But it is kind of a light moment. It turns out that his way was more efficient and they kind of have a laugh about it. So, and he tells her that he's glad that things are starting to work. Again, I don't understand this relationship at all. I don't understand why her job. But anyway, her boss, Mr. Waterhouse, lets her know that evening that he needs the report ASAP. They want something before the quarter closes. They really need something. So he needs her report ASAP. And she's like, okay, I'm working on it.
Did we talk about how she wrapped that gift? We should talk about how she wrapped that gift.
We didn't.
Because it was, I'm sorry, but she had way too much wrapping paper to end up with the really great job that she did. It was a little box, and then the paper was like about a foot longer than the box.
Yeah.
Like,
and we know the scissors don't reach the table.
Right? I was like, is she taped the front, like the top sides together? I was like, there's no way she's going to be making corners with the two, like 1 foot ends on each side. Right. Girl, you got to cut that paper. And then next thing you know, they cut to it and it's like perfectly wrapped. Mm-hmm.
It was.
I don't know. I resented that.
Christmas land magic.
Sure.
So as Lillian is going through the paperwork, as she keeps spending time in the office, she discovers that Grant has his own subscription and she wants to know more, but nobody really knows anything about it. But this person is subscribed to like everything. And it's someone local in New York. Those are the things we know.
Well, and then she, again, this is another thing where she's being a real bee about it. She's like, well, I need to know. It seems like a waste of money for the CEO to be getting a subscription of his own. I'm like, no, he's testing his own product. That doesn't seem like a waste of money at all. He gets to see how it works.
I agree. And then that day, which I think is like her third or fourth day in the office, he shows her the process. Like the person creates a profile, and then from that profile, they can put a gift together, and then there's a personalization team. So like if they need a little extra oomph, like that's what Phil did when he was making the present for Annie, to be like their song that was playing when they had their first kiss. And I cannot figure out why it's day four and she's only just learning the process. Like that should be the first thing they did, but it wasn't.
Well, she had to organize the supply closet. That took a couple days.
So they have a present ready to go. And this is probably a part where she could have spoken up and been like, this seems really inefficient. They deliver them by themselves. Grant, the CEO of the company, gets in a rickshaw. I don't know why. It's not like it's like a little like baby trailer thing on the back where he could like load it up with presents and ride his bike around. You could also just get a bike messenger. But he takes Lillian, sticks her in the rickshaw holding the present, and they go and deliver the present. The person is delighted. She gets to see how much it means to someone, whatever. But what?
Yeah, everything was wrong with this. First of all, I guess if you're in Toronto, that might work. But New York City and five boroughs and I don't know about a rickshaw. Also, it's dead winter. It makes me think that, you know, the script was obviously either written for a different location or written in anticipation that like every other winter movie that this would have been filmed off season, which it clearly wasn't. It was filmed in the winter time in what I'm assuming is Toronto. And it looked bitter cold. I can only imagine that shoot must've been really rough, but yeah. And then they could barely get around in the rickshaw because there's snow and ice on the ground, like for real. So it's not even like a practical method of transportation in the winter time. Again, not to mention that there was only one rickshaw. Like it wasn't like there was a fleet of rickshaws that were going to deliver all of these gifts. It was one. And apparently the only person who delivers them is the CEO. So in defense of Lillian, that was very inefficient delivery system.
Yes. And they did show them like struggling in the snow and stuff. Like this is, and it appears that every time a single box is ready, he goes and delivers. This was one of my favorite parts coming up. There's an emergency. This guy wants a graduation box for his daughter, but he thought graduation was next week and it's like right now. And he wants to give it to her at the party this afternoon. What are they going to do? So for some reason, they have all of her like field hockey or whatever t-shirts, and they decide to make a quilt, like one of those t-shirt quilts like you see people have, they bring to college.
No, the secretary lady says, Cassie's father sent over this box of stuff so we would get a better idea of the kind of person she is. And then here's just a random box full of t-shirts. I'm like, I cannot even imagine. First of all, this is Cassie's uncle, you know, that ordered the Love subscription. And yet the father is so involved. He took the time to collect a box of her old jerseys, put them in the box, mail them to the Love subscription place. Cause I guess he's so thrilled with the idea of this Love subscription. Love subscription
probably sent a rickshaw to pick them up.
You're right. It was weird, but anyway, they have a box of her jerseys at the company.
So Lillian just sits down at the sewing machine and like makes a quilt out of them, which I had a lot of questions about. First of all, a quilt takes a long time. Quilting takes forever. It shows Grant cutting like the number out of the back of one of them, and he just cuts. He doesn't even measure. With a quilt, that's a huge problem. Also, has anyone talked to Cassie about cutting up all of her stuff? Maybe she wanted these for something. Right. I don't know. Right. Usually people send their own shirts in for these.
I know. I thought when I saw the quilt, I was like, oh, they made copies of it somehow. No. Or like, I didn't think they like sliced up all of her jerseys for this quilt, which my grandmother was a quilter, God rest her soul. And I spent many a winter days watching her quilt. Now she did it by hand, which is a little different, but even if you use a sewing machine, quilting is a very precise skill. Yeah, it takes time. You have to do all this measuring. I would have even bought it if we had just showed them like cutting out the squares and just gluing it onto a quilt that's already in existence.
Something, but no. And Lillian herself is at the sewing machine getting it done. They knock it out in one afternoon.
And they say, yeah, that's the thing. They say we only have 2 hours. We only have 2 hours before the party is over to do this. So it wasn't just that they knocked it out in one afternoon. Lillian knocked that thing out in 2 hours.
Insane. So they deliver it again. They, you know, Lillian gets to see what a big difference this makes for people, blah, blah, blah. And Grant is like, what is your deal with presents? Why are you so angry? And she says that she's experienced a lot of gifts with the wrong intention, but she doesn't really want to talk about it. That's all we know. She's experienced gifts with the wrong intention.
It still, that doesn't sound that traumatizing.
No, it doesn't. You still got a gift. So they're wandering through New York and he takes her to this like warehouse district, shows her this warehouse where his grandfather had been, had worked in his career. And it's a really cool spot. There's a view of the Statue of Liberty and it's about to get knocked down in just a couple of weeks because the city is putting in a parking lot. But he wants to buy it to be like the new headquarters of the new expanded Love Subscription. So that's why he is in a rush to get some funding together. Mm-hmm. So now we have a little more context on what's motivating him. All right. Here's
right. And obviously that not at all green screen view of the Statue of Liberty.
Right. Yes. A lot of very affordable warehouse property with a view of the Statue of Liberty is my understanding.
Yeah. Yes. In New York City. Yeah.
Yes. And I understand they are getting venture capital investment, but they still made it feel like this was not a huge reach to want this. Like that would have been turned into super cool bar, lofts, office space, whatever by now. But no, just going to be
not close. Definitely not a parking lot.
No, no.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
These days, it seems like everybody's talking, but no one is actually listening to the things they're saying. Critical thinking isn't dead, but it's definitely low on oxygen. Join me, Kira Davis, on Just Listen to Yourself every week as we reason through issues big and small, critique our own ideas, and learn to draw our talking points all the way out to their logical conclusions. Subscribe to Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis, an FCB radio podcast on Apple, on Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. The next morning, this is that scene you were talking about. She's out for her run and there's like a detour. You know, the sidewalk is, I don't know, under construction. I don't know what's going on. She's detoured anyway. And she sees Grant going into the address on his Love Subscription. So I think it's kind of funny that she like knows the address, but you'd think that like, if, I don't know, maybe I'm just too small towny. I would just, I mean, I'm not going to pretend that I've like never hidden in Joann Fabric or in the grocery store from someone that I don't really want to talk to right now. But she was hiding like she was going to get caught, you know? And I'm like, just go on your run and be like, hi.
I live around here.
Yeah. I live around here. there was a detour sent me this way. Crazy. We ran into each other.
And she said that earlier. Didn't she, like, because he had said they were going on a walk or something earlier on in the movie, and they did walk by that house, and she said, and he said something like, oh, this is where one of our regular subscribers lives. And she says, oh, that's so cool. I live in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have been weird. Yeah. I mean, honestly, just recently that same thing happened to me. I was in Michael's and one of my school board members was in there. And if you recall, I ran for school board, and I lost. Well, my campaign manager keeps telling me to not say that I lost. The union money beat me. that's what I'm supposed to say. But, one of the school board members who was most antagonistic towards me was in Michael's, and she was talking about, a case that the school board was dealing with, a student discipline case that I had been running on. And so I was like, I walked around the corner and I saw her on the phone and she didn't see me. And I like jetted to the next aisle over. And then I just like followed her down the aisle on the other side just to listen to her entire conversation. And then I did the thing. You would be so proud of me. This was so Christmas landy. But whenever somebody would walk by, I just like would pick up some random thing from the shelf and be like, what are the ingredients in this package of glue? It's so fascinating. And then she walked by the end of the aisle and I grabbed like a piece of paper, I don't know, like a piece of felt or something and put it in front of my face. Like, oh, this is so interesting. And I just followed her around the store like that until she finished her conversation.
I love it. I love it.
Yep.
I once was at Joanne and saw someone going in that I just couldn't. It was one of those people where I knew I was going to get stuck talking to them forever. I sat in my car and listened to a podcast until I saw them come out. It was like 3 days before Christmas. I was like, I can't do it. I just sat there.
Oh my gosh, that is so neurotic. We are crazy people.
She's like hiding behind cars, but I mean, she had no reason to. We had reasons, but anyway, whatever. again, I think Lillian and Annie only know each other. Oh, I guess, and Phil. They have a game night that night, and Annie starts kind of being like, so is Grant single? What's his deal? And she says that she thinks he's not single because he has a love subscription. And she's like, well, maybe it's like a family member who they never gets to see. And she's like, no, it's an address in town. So I don't know. Maybe he's got a girlfriend. We don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't jump to the girlfriend conclusion at all. No. It seems to me like the majority of these love boxes are going to family members for like mementos and stuff like that. And it's been a long time subscription, but whatever. And we also we don't really care about this guy.
No.
But I guess she does, so
she cares, and Annie cares. So in the next morning she's out for her run, goes by the house again, sees Grant again, and hides again. But a horn, she like steps into the road and a horn honks and she's totally busted, and Grant is like, hey, do you want to come meet my grandma? She lives here. So it's his grandma, everybody.
Gosh,
calm down. But also,
it
just proves that, like, there was no reason to hide. He wasn't going to be like, are you following me? He was just like, oh, I am aware that you live in this neighborhood.
Right.
My grandma.
Again, it was one of those things about the movie that, like, the script was just all over the place. I don't know if it got cut up or maybe it was written so generically, because, you know, we do recognize these scripts have to be generic. That's how that's part of the comfort aspect of these movies.
Yeah.
But it was so up and down tonally. I just couldn't get a read. It was like, are we, we were supposed to be concerned in places that weren't concerning. And then we were supposed to be happy in places that were concerning. And again, this was the thing. It didn't need to happen. She could have literally just been running by and being like, oh, look, just seemed like manufactured tension.
Yeah, it was.
We didn't need.
But the grandma invites her in to make some cookies so we can check that box. We get a cooking montage.
She invites her into her very Toronto house. In New York, there are brownstones. And in Toronto, there's these brick creations that are still really cool. Has its own flavor. But it's definitely not New York.
Yeah. So she talks about how she really wants to go out for Italian tonight. There's this place that she loves. She's like, Lillian, why don't you join us? And Lillian kind of tries to wiggle out of it, but she's like, okay, sure, I'll come. And then, shocking absolutely no one, Grandma bails so that Grant and Lillian have to have dinner alone that night.
Because Grandma kind of knew that Grant and Lillian were interested in each other, even though we, the audience, really have no clue, because there is zero chemistry between these two actors at all.
Yeah, they could not have been less interested in each other.
No, when we barely even know that they are interested in each other from the script.
Yeah, yes, there are no clues. So they toast to a fresh start, talk about like their career. You know, he talks about like how Love Subscription got started and how he likes to show people, you know, that he cares, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, seriously, Lillian, what is your problem with gifts?
Right.
And she finally explains, Bradley, her ex-fiance, used to give her empty gifts instead of investing in their relationship. Okay, like I can see how it would be annoying if somebody like blows you off, doesn't really care about you, doesn't treat you well, and then buys you gifts, whatever. But that should make you hate Bradley. That's why you broke up with him. That doesn't make you hate gifts.
Right. It's not like, you know, I don't like the water because I almost drowned when I was 7.
Right.
It's not like that.
Maybe you should hate the person who threw you into the water.
I mean, it's like, it's not even... Yeah, there's no, it's not that traumatizing. It's not like this is a traumatizing thing.
Right.
Or like, you know, I once went bungee jumping and the cord broke, so I'm afraid to bungee jump now. It's not like that. It's like somebody gave me a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And now I hate gifts.
And he turned out to be a jerk. Okay, well, you broke up with him. That was the appropriate response. Hating gifts isn't. What's happening? Ugh. So Grant brings her up to the roof because it's one of his favorite places in town, but he usually just enjoys it by himself and they have kind of a little moment, blah, blah, blah.
Out there on the roof and the imaginary view. Mm-hmm.
Again, yes. Again, because Annie and Lillian spend every waking moment together, they are walking the next morning and Lillian is in like, she's supposed to just be like in a good mood, but she seems like she's having a manic episode. I hope she's okay. And they're walking through the park and run into Bradley, the ex-fiance. Bradley has lost his catering business, but he's starting a food truck. Everything's going to be fine. And he wants to see her again. And she is like, never. I don't want to see you. You're a jerk.
Yeah. It was so weird. It was weird. They're walking through this park. The cutaways make it seem like they're walking through Central Park. Mm-hmm. Like the cutaways when you they spend a lot of time walking through this park. We are supposed to believe it's Central Park, but it's clearly a Toronto park, like just a park at the end of the street. I feel like I've been there before. And they're walking down the same path every time. And I don't understand why they chose to film so much of this in that park. It was freezing. Now I understand, like we used to complain a lot about, like, why do they film off season? Why don't you film in the winter and give us like more wintry? But that's hard to do. You realize when you see a film that's shot in the winter, like, and you can only imagine the challenges of like being out there all day, all of the equipment, things freezing over, your actors freezing. But it's still every now and then it's nice to see real winter. But I was flummoxed by how much time they spent in this park. This Bradley scene could have been a scene at a store or a mall or a hot chocolate stand. Like it didn't need to be outside. It was just so weird that it was outside. I was already uncomfortable that they were so cold and that it was so cold outside. And then, we just happened to be walking in this one section of, quote, Central Park. Oh, my gosh, there's Bradley. And by the way, only Bradley. No one else is in the park. It's just them. Anyway, I found, again, just added to the tonal strangeness of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So Bradley kind of wants to get back together. She's not having it.
Is somebody snow blowing at your house?
Somebody is leaf blowing at my house.
Oh, leaf blowing.
And I was like, I really hope that, that everyone can't hear that, but apparently you can. So that's exciting.
That's fine. I have a neighbor who has two, not one leaf blower, but two leaf blowers. And occasionally he is a friend. I can do this. But occasionally I have to yell at him out my window. I'm on TV, Ryan. Stop. And he, I don't know why he bought two, he bought one, and then he bought two. And one day I walked by his garage. His wife was in the garage. She was like, Katie, why does Ryan have two leaf blowers? And she was like, Kira, I just pick my battles. Like, I don't know. Anyways, so I feel your pain. So anyway, go yeah. on.
Okay. So she gets to work and she tells, Grant all about she ran to Bradley. Oh my goodness, it was so awkward, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, okay, cool, whatever. I think it was supposed to be a moment for them, but I don't know, I wasn't feeling
it. Again, yeah, there's yeah. no chemistry. I guess, yeah, this is supposed to be another bonding moment. Yeah, wasn't feeling it.
So he tells her that the employees have been working really, really hard and he wants to throw them a surprise party to thank them. And she says, let's call it Project Give Back. And it's like an undercover project. And like, I'll help you. We're going to do a huge surprise for them.
Yeah. And I was like, and again, I was like, this is not your company. This is not your job. Don't tell him what to call his party.
Yeah. So, but he's into it, whatever. Later they're walking. It's cold. Well, he's cold, but she's not. So she gives him her scarf, which was an interesting twist on a classic. Usually the man gives the woman his scarf, but okay. Yeah. They talk about how they've learned so much from each other, you know, while she's been there for 3 days, 4 days. I don't know how many days at this point. Maybe 2 weeks. Let's say it's been 2 weeks. I don't know. But still, they've learned so much from each other. And then, you know, they say their goodbyes and he heads over to his grandma's house and his grandma is like, listen, you two mesh and you need to tell her how you feel. Because you're obviously like the sexual chemistry here is off the charts, even though it's not.
Right.
So he's like, listen, I forgot to give her back her scarf. So I'm going to go over to her house to give her back her scarf. But then while I'm there, I'm going to tell her how I feel. And she's like, okay.
But you didn't, you skipped over the part where he takes her to the market. And they isn't that's where they see Bradley, because the day before when they're planning the party, he says, you know, we could go to a regular party supply store, but I'm going to take you to my favorite spot. And he goes to this market, which I thought was cool. Like, obviously, his idea is like, I go to this market and it's got local vendors in it. So it's one of those big market, like you would see in London, where there's all kinds of stalls, vendor stalls. Yeah. And so, you know, he meets the one woman who is like, she makes candles and Lillian smells one candle. She's like, oh, this smells like the beach. And the lady is like, that's exactly what I was. It's a sassy black lady, of course. She's like, that's exactly what I was going for, girl. She was like, it smells like, and I'm like, you know what? I grew up on an island. I have smelled the beach every day. Mm-hmm. And it is not a scent that I would light.
No. So I grew up on Lake Michigan. Same thing.
Yeah.
So it smells like dead fish. Like what?
Seaweed. Yeah, seaweed, watch algae sometimes. It's not, I mean, it's a fun smell when you're at the beach, like the salt water, the sand, but it's not like, oh, this is such a wonderful fragrance. I want to light
this. Smell like this. Yeah.
Yeah, no. And then, and then of course she mistakes them for a couple, even though there's absolutely no chemistry at all. Right? There's no indication that they are together at all. In fact, when Lillian and Grant roll up on that vendor stall, she's standing like 3 feet behind him, and she's like, oh, how long have you guys been together? Which is definitely not a question you should ask a total stranger when they just show up. Like, how long have you guys been together? Oh, it seems like you're together. But he takes her around to all the vendor stalls. He said, I get my supplies from here, and that way the boxes have like a more personalized flair and it supports local business, which of course we love. And then they run into Bradley. Also, his food truck is like in, like has a vendor stall there as well. So they have met. So then the next so we need to know that as we set up him bringing her scarf back.
All right. So while Grant is talking to his grandma, Lillian is talking to Annie, because she always does that. And she finally admits that she likes Grant. So
okay, we'll take your word for it.
Yeah, we'll take both of y'all's word for it. You're desperately in love. So Lillian is outside of her house, just getting home. Bradley is like, walks up and he's talking about how he has changed and he's going to continue to change and he wants her back. And she's like, it's too late, bro, because there's somebody else, but I wish you all the best. And they have a hug and Grant shows up, sees them hugging, sees her hugging her ex, mm-hmm. and he just, like, gives her back the scarf and bolts.
I thought it was actually, I thought there was more sincerity between her and Bradley than there was between her and Grant. Like, I actually bought his apology. And again, in the great tradition of Christmasland, exes never go away angry.
No.
You know, he wasn't that bad of a guy. And he told her, you know, I learned. I understand now that he actually gave a better explanation of why she had problems with the gifts than she did. He actually said, I realize now that I was buying you things to prove my love for you. And what you wanted was sincerity and affection. And I'm sorry, you know, but I've really learned my lesson. And, you know, and he seemed like he did. So we can rest assured that Bradley will go on to find a nice relationship because he's learned from Lillian. It was a sweet exchange. Like, oh, okay, this guy like figured it out. He learned something.
Yeah, he's getting there. But meanwhile, you know, she's telling Bradley that she met someone else, you know, all that stuff. So, mm-hmm. so she goes home, writes this glowing recommendation to Mr. Waterhouse, her boss, saying they need to invest in Love Subscription. It is the best investment opportunity ever in the world.
Yeah.
And then as she hits send, she spills her water. It's a mess. It's everywhere.
This is the messiest and most disorganized she has been the whole time. She spilled. First of all, I would think a woman like Lillian wouldn't have water near her computer.
I know. At least it would be in some kind of like a spill-proof something, right? Not just like an empty, like an open glass of water, not empty, open glass of water.
But also, I do believe that Lillian is boring enough to be drinking just a glass of water next to her computer. I mean, not a cup of coffee. Not, you know, this is Christmasland, and I do expect when people are drinking something, I expect it to be hot cocoa or coffee or tea or cider.
Yeah, you're right. But Lillian is a glass of water of a person. So it makes sense. You're right. Makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Did Paul Revere really say the British are coming? And how was George Washington chosen to lead the first American army? Join us for the Growing Patriot podcast, a place for curious kids to ask the big questions about our nation's history and get kid-friendly answers from the country's top experts. Help your child learn about and cherish America's exceptional history. Subscribe to Growing Patriots on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts today.
So she gets to work the next morning, so excited to tell Grant that she, you know, suggested that they actually do invest. But he's already gotten a denial letter from Mr. Waterhouse. And he's like, I thought you changed. And she's like, I thought you changed. And then they get in a fight. She goes to talk to Mr. Waterhouse and she figures out that what happened was when she was like wiping off her computer after the whole thing, she somehow, I don't know how, because this seems like really hard to do accidentally, she sent that initial like brain dump that she did talking about how horrible it was and how she hated everybody and everything and also gifts. And so she's like, listen, I did not mean to send that. That is not how I feel. Those were just my first impressions. And then I learned more about it and I learned more about Grant and his management. And he's like, those are your first impressions, though. And like, we're going to go with your gut on this and we're not going to take it. We're not going to invest in this.
That was the thing she sent on hour one of day one.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think she sent it, though. I think she just wrote it.
Oh, she just wrote it. You're right.
I thought she just like, wrote it for her notes. But yeah.
Before you go on with what Mr. Boss says, but Grant did say when they're having that misunderstanding that could be cleared up with just a simple conversation, Grant does tell her, he says, I thought you changed, which I don't know that there was any indication that she had based on what, I don't know. But then she was like, I thought you changed. And it's like, but from what? The changed from what? From like, he is the same person that he was the second you walked in, which, by the way, seems like a perfectly nice person, not a bad person at all.
Right. Yeah. I didn't get that. So Mr. Waterhouse is like, we're going to stick with your first impressions. But you did a really good job with this research, which this was her first day, like, notes. So I find it hard to believe that that passes for really great research in the VC world. But okay. So he offers her the promotion and she turns it down. She doesn't want it anymore. So she just quits. Okay.
Wow. Okay. You know what? I'm filing this one under white people problems.
White, Lily White, Lillian White, people problem.
That is white privilege. She gets, Lily White, Lillian gets to get, not only does she whine in the beginning about not getting the promotion, right, then she tries to talk her boss out of giving her the opportunity to nab the promotion. And then when he does give her the promotion, she's like, oh no, I don't want it anymore.
I don't want it. Also, I quit completely. It was so, okay, now she's unemployed. Grant is hanging out with his grandma again, and she's like, listen, you've always loved Lillian, but she doesn't share your love of gift giving, and explains love languages to Grant. And I feel like he would already know about that because he seems like a guy who would know about that. But also his whole premise is like, my love language is gifts. So you'd think he would have heard of that, whatever. And he says, that's not her thing. So you have to show her how you feel instead of just giving her a gift. Okay.
Okay.
So Grant goes to stare despondently at the warehouse that's going to get torn down to be made into a parking lot. And the admin receptionist lady calls him and is like, there's an emergency. You have to get back to headquarters. It's not a big deal though. Like, nothing's wrong, but you have to get back right now.
I know. That made me laugh. She was like, you've got to come right away. He's like, what's wrong? It's not a big deal.
But you have to come right now.
Which is it?
You should drop everything you're doing and get here right now. So he gets there and Lillian has completely blown up Project Give Back. It is no longer an event to thank the employees. It's a surprise party to thank Grant, which is the opposite of what he wanted. So she's ruined everything. She lets him know that Phil is going to be his new investor. And then Phil hires Lillian. And I felt like it was weird that there was tension because Lillian was acting like, I don't know what I'm going to do next. I just quit my job because it didn't feel right, but I'm sure something will turn up. Half an hour ago, Annie offered you a job with Phil. You knew you had, did you forget? Okay, whatever.
See, it's just white privilege. Also, not only did she hijack that the party to flip it around for the CEO, she in the process of doing so, she robbed the hardworking employees of their gift, right? That was their gift. So they're still giftless. And the rich guy who owns the company, now she figured out a way to make the party about the rich white guy who owns the company. Just incredible. I'm starting to think that Lillian is a real Karen.
Could be. Okay, so Lillian gets hired by Phil. Lillian and what's his name? Grant kiss, and everyone cheers. The end.
Again, was everyone invested in this romance? This movie was maybe one of the, it wasn't fun bad. We love a good bad movie. And Great American has put out a few of those over the Christmas season that were super fun to watch. It was like, maybe the scripts were a little lacking and the settings were a little lacking, but it was really fun to go through it. Yeah. But this was just lacking something. The script fell off. The actors were perfectly fine, you know, as far as their skills, but there wasn't chemistry between them. And the plot seemed, I hate to say this about Christmas Land, but convoluted. So that's, I mean, that is the plot of every movie in the Christmas universe, is convoluted, but it just was, it had to stretch so far for the tension. I just didn't have fun with this one.
No, but that's, I mean, you know, they're not all our favorite movie. We still love you, Great American, but no, this was not our favorite.
Never stop making these movies. I feel like we should start and end every podcast with that assertion. Like, we need to make sure that this is not like a crap posting podcast. We never want you to stop making good movies, bad movies, any movies. In the end, we love them all. This is just, you know, the premise of our podcast is talking about them and breaking them down. But I wouldn't recommend. There are some we've done where I'm like, yeah, go watch this. This is not one of them.
Yeah. Oh, well. But yeah, but we love them. And like you said, we hope they just keep making them forever.
Yeah, never stop. Let's go down the list really quick of tropes, which, you know what I need to add to our tropes is blatant product placement. We have a list going because we have another project we're working on, but you might want to put that on there, Amelia. Blatant product placement was not on there. Okay, so busy business person too busy for love.
Yes.
Precocious child?
Nope.
No. Black best friend or POC?
POC best friend, yes.
A deadline of some sort. If this was at Christmas time, we would say there would be a Christmas Eve deadline. Is there a deadline here of some sort?
Yeah, I mean, she had to get the thing done, I guess, like this quarter or whatever it was, but not like I don't know. It didn't feel quite the same, but
yeah, not like, oh, this has, but not like this has to be done by Valentine's Day or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Someone falling off a ladder?
Nope.
Or falling down? Nope. A baking scene?
Yes.
We got that. Food fight or flour on someone's nose or face?
Didn't she wipe something off his face at one point? I think she did.
Oh, I must have missed that part.
I mean, I watch a lot of these. It could have been a different one, but I'm pretty sure she did.
All right. A tree lighting ceremony or something equivalent for Valentine's Day?
Nope.
No. Tree decorating or something equivalent? Decorating? I guess.
Well, kind of. Like, they got decorations for that party, but we didn't get like a nice montage.
Yeah. Black mare?
No. Black boss.
Black boss. I think we can safely call the black boss a stand-in for the black mare.
Yeah, I think so too. It's a black person in authority.
Yes, because once you leave Christmas season in Christmas land, you have fewer opportunities for like a town-wide, you know, event that would, need the presence of the mayor.
Need the mayor, yeah.
So, yeah. All right. A misunderstanding that could easily be resolved with one conversation.
I mean, kind of with like her sending the wrong email, but they did sort of clear it up with one conversation. So.
They could have cleared up that whole little thing they had, that little argument they had at the end where she was like, I thought you changed. And he was like, I thought you changed. They could have cleared that up with just him going, why did you send this bad review?
Right. Right.
And her going, you know, why are you being like this? I just sent a great review of your business. Right. They could have cleared that up by just saying that. A makeover or a dress reveal?
No.
We didn't. And blatant product placement.
We hope no. The description was, but no.
It was not. Yeah, you know, and maybe that is part of the charm that was missing from this movie. A lot of those tropes were not there in some form of another. So maybe that's another thing that fell off to us. I do think that, you know, that script writers for Great American should get our list of tropes so you know.
Yes. And also they should listen to season one where we have tons of great suggestions for actors and actresses.
That's right. Season one, we did go through our list of ideas for future stars in the Hallmark universe at that point. But, you know, a lot of these people are switching back and forth now. Well, all right. I would not recommend this movie. It wasn't my favorite Great American movie so far, but it was a Valentine's Day offering and it was still fun to sit down and watch.
Yeah.
Like they all are at the end of the day. So thank you, Great American, for this film. It was a charming Valentine. You can write us and tell us how you felt about it. You can write to averymerrypodcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
And let us know what you think. And Amelia, we got a letter from a super fan. Mm-hmm. And it was regarding our conversation that we had a few episodes ago about why we've sort of matriculated from Hallmark to Great American and why we felt that shift was necessary for us as fans of the Christmas universe movie thing.
Yeah.
And so I thought it would be fun if you read that for us.
I will. So yes, we, after that episode, which was actually last month, I feel like this past month has gone really quickly. But anyway, we heard from Kelsey, our super fan Kelsey, and I'm just going to read you the email. Subject line, preach, y'all. All right, ladies, the latest episode on Hallmark's new direction was spot freaking on. I caught myself saying amen throughout the episode. The haul out the holly kerfuffle is what broke me this season. And that's kind of, you know, where you and I, Kira, also lost
it.
But as soon as I saw the first 5 minutes, I was typing up a panicked email to you guys. There were signs in other movies that they were straying from the tropes of the formula, but it wasn't so overt that it bothered me, or it didn't bother me enough that I couldn't finish a movie or thought about going to another network. But I got to be honest, I feel a little betrayed by Lacey Chabert over this one. She's been one of the Hallmark Christmas queens for years, and her movies have always been reliably enjoyable and full of the tropes. But from her recent interviews, read the Candace Cameron Bure traditional marriage remarks, she seems to be on board with Hallmark going in a new creative direction and abandoning the tropes. If we've lost Lacey, have we lost it all? I tried explaining Hallmark's weird new direction to my brother's girlfriend on Christmas Eve. She doesn't watch the movies, but was aware of the drama. I think you both explained it perfectly in this podcast. It's not about the new diversity. But by the way, is Asian Assistant the new black best friend? So maybe that's something you and I need to watch for, Kira. Mm-hmm. It's about Hallmark straying from their tried and true formula. And that is just hugely disappointing. If I want a low budget Christmas movie with a crappy plot and a PG plus rating, I can go to literally any network. Lifetime, Netflix, Amazon, etc. have loads of subpar Christmas movies to fill that void. But that's not what I want all the time. And Hallmark stood out as offering something different. They do still offer a few of those kinds of movies, but it seems like they're fewer and farther between. Gotta still plug Christmas Cookie Catastrophe as the unsung hero of the 2022 Christmas lineup. So Kira, you and I didn't watch that, but I think it stars Hot Sassafras. Anyway, I'm glad you both recommended to me the Great American Family lineup. I gave it a chance and have liked their offerings so far. Lots of familiar faces and cliche storylines. It's perfect. I'm still making my way through the recordings, but I'm loving everything I've seen. I can't wait to join you all in watching the next GAF movie this weekend and look forward to more episodes of the podcast. Best, Kelsey.
Thank you, Kelsey. I'm really glad to hear that someone else gets us, because that was a tough decision for us to make, to make that switch. We discussed it for a while, you know, and we were both flirting with Great American without telling the other. I don't want to tell Amelia that I've been watching Great American movies, but it did feel like even we did the Lindsay Lohan movie, and even when we were doing that movie, it seemed like even Netflix understood what was so appealing about the Hallmark movies, and yet Hallmark is moving off of that formula, but all the other streaming services are beginning to pick up that formula, like they're getting it. And so the Netflix movie would have been a place to be a little more edgy or what, but it wasn't. It really was pretty wholesome and like we expected in Hallmark. And it's just been so disappointing to see Hallmark deliberately shifting away. And I think the more I read about the leadership over there and the more I read about the strategy over there, I think that the leadership thinks they're being clever about it. And I don't think they are. I don't think they understand that we understand exactly what we're watching. We're not, the Hallmark audience is not a bunch of idiots that don't understand what good filmmaking is, or that's not what it is at all. Most of the Hallmark audience are people who have varied tastes and also just enjoy this genre that is Hallmark for all intents and purposes. Is a genre now, and they enjoy that genre of movie, and that's what they want to see when they tune in. And I haven't read any ratings breakdowns of what Hallmark, how they've done this season, but I'll be very interesting to hear.
We'll have to keep an eye out for those. But we know that Great American is growing by leaps and bounds, and it's easy to see why. They are nailing it.
They really are. Candace Cameron Bure has been winning awards. She's won an award for her movie on a Christmas Present, which was one of the big movies of the season. It was a faith-based movie over there. She won a it was some kind of Christian award. I think it's funny when Christians give each other awards for being Christian, but nonetheless, CCB, it's an award, CCB, and we love CCB, so yeah. we're happy that she got it.
We're into it.
Yeah. We're into it. But yeah, I'm glad that Great American's been there to catch us since we.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Would have been despondent and I don't know. Because we love that this is a happy podcast too. You know, we don't want to watch, you know, we don't enjoy watching movies we don't like and then talking about how we didn't like them. Like, that's not fun. We like loving the movies. So, yeah.
Right, exactly. And I just want to point out that I just made a reference to falling off something and being caught. And that's what Great American did. They caught it. We fell off the virtual ladder of Christmas movie podcasts and fell into the arms of Great American.
Aw, we were welcome.
And then they threw a bunch of flour on our faces and we had a snowball fight.
Yes. That's exactly what happened. We almost kissed, but we were interrupted. It was beautiful.
Well, I had a great time today, Amelia. Another fun, you know, I mean, I know this wasn't our favorite, but it's always fun to be in Christmas land with you. Yes. So, Amelia, it's time to go. But until we meet again, I wish you days filled with gifts. All kinds of gifts from whoever you want.
I wish you the ability to quit your job over nothing and immediately get rehired by something better.
Oh, thanks, Amelia. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
This has been a presentation of the FCB Podcast Network, where real talk lives. Visit us online at fcbpodcasts.com.